Welcome to Black Feminist Rants, where we center conversations on reproductive justice and activism. I am your host, Lakia Williams, and let's begin.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Black Feminist Rants with your girl Lakia. Y'all, it's literally 12:30 a.m. and I decided to record. And y'all don't know, but I'm moving actually technically tomorrow. It's Thursday morning, you know, low-key Wednesday night. And I moved Friday morning. So my mic and everything were in a box. And I took them out the box and I started recording because I was like, you know, I've been crying all night. I can't stop crying, but also I can't fall asleep. So I got to do something. And I'm already at 6 hours on TikTok for today. So it's like, I don't want to be on TikTok no more. So might as well record. So we are going to have more of like a chit chat style episode. I was meeting with Anaya earlier today. If you don't know Anaya, Anaya is the production manager for the podcast. They do the audio engineering and a lot of stuff, but they also edit the podcast episodes. And they were saying how, you know, like informational episodes are good, but like people want to just like, you know, hear people's opinions and perspectives and like, you know, not have as scripted episodes. So definitely heard you. And so that's what I'm doing right now. Anaya has also been on me about doing more solo episodes. So killing it two birds with one stone. And also I actually enjoy like the more personable episodes. Y'all always give such good feedback on these episodes. And like, I feel like y'all really connect with them. So I've only done like, I think one or two. So I'm excited to do this one. I don't know exactly what I'm gonna talk about because like I said, I just got my mic out the freaking box and started recording. But I feel like that just kind of shows the chaos of my life. I guess one thing that I want to talk about is like, for y'all, for those of you who don't know, if this is your first episode, welcome. But I'm 24 years old. I moved to the Bay Area last year. So I've been here a little over a year. And so obviously that is like, you know, somewhat of a transition going from being a college student to working full time. And that's just a huge transition within itself. And then moving to a new state, you know, going from living in the South to living on the West Coast. I feel like there's been a lot of transitions. And even within those large transitions, like I've been changing jobs and trying new things and growing the BFR team. And so I feel like it's just always been like new things happening, which they're all good, they're all positive, but I feel like it's like this constant like next thing happening as a way to like not have to sit with my own thoughts and like my own emotions, honestly. And hey, I can't say I'm good at it. I am good at running from my own internal dialogue until I have moments like this where it's literally like 12 in the morning and I just can't function. But I do want to say, speaking of BFR specifically, not to be all sappy, but I genuinely feel like BFR has changed my life. For those of you who don't know, I started Black Feminist Rants June 2020. So you already know what was happening summer of 2020. I feel like as just like a global community, there was a lot of grief around COVID and all the lives that were lost. And then also the uncertainty of what the future looked like and like, will this virus end? Like, or like, we know what's going to happen. So there was that collective grief. And then I will say as a Black community, specifically in the US, just the grieving of seeing all of this murder in our community, all the harm and all the violence that's happening to people who, you know, we love, who look like us. And so I know I had a lot of anger, which I think a lot of people had, rightfully so. And so for me, that looked like these constant rants on Instagram, on my stories. And from there, that is where Black Feminist Rants was birthed. And if you want to learn more about how BFR started, I think that's like the first or second episode of the podcast. But yeah, starting Black Feminist Rants in 2020 to now being in 2023 and it's still being here, I've learned so much. I can genuinely say Black Feminist Rants has been a labor of love for me. And I may be using that term incorrectly, but it's really showing me how to love on myself as someone who doesn't like always do that the most. You know, we talk about loving community and showing up for people. And I feel like, you know, I do a good job at that. I can definitely improve, especially with people who I have a more personal connection with, but I feel like the person I show up for the least is myself. And don't get it twisted, I take care of myself, I spend money on myself. That's not the case. I know some people be like, oh, I'm so selfless, like I haven't bought myself a new pair of shoes in 3 years. That's not me. Mm-mm. I'm going to take care of myself in that sense, but like the actual like inner work and stuff and like checking in with my emotions and my feelings, that's where I fail. And so I feel like BFR has been an avenue for me to reflect on myself a little bit more. And it's also been, I would say, a labor of love, because I've always struggled with consistency and, you know, procrastination and things like that. And y'all know BFR is not super consistent. Like, there will be months without an episode. But even if there is a long break and I feel, you know, guilt around being gone for so long, I always come back. And as a recovering perfectionist, if y'all are anything like me, you already know that if something can't be done perfect, then it's no point in doing it. And so old Lakia would be like, well, if I'm not consistent and I keep failing at consistency, there's no point in continuing this podcast because I'm not doing it right. And I would have given up already. And so BFR has shown me, you know, how to be, I would say, easier on myself. It's not realistic to be perfect 24/7. It's not realistic. It's not even something that I desire anymore. That's a lot of what I've unlearned and unpacked during 20. So I don't even want that. And it's not achievable. It's not attainable. Anyways, so I feel like BFR has shown me that I can mess up and I can make mistakes and I can like snap back immediately. Like, it's really nothing. Like, okay, we didn't hit our consistency goals for last month. What are we going to do the month after, you know? So that's one way that BFR has impacted me. And then also just being so fortunate to be able to work with other people on Black Feminist Rants. So if y'all don't know, Black Feminist Rants is currently a team of four. There's me, the executive producer and the host, Anaya, the production manager, who does honestly a lot of everything. One of their main tasks is audio engineer. They edit all the episodes and do like the show notes and things like that. And then there's Cameron, who's the research intern, who does a lot of the research. She is also the lead of our Reproductive Justice Zine collaboration. And then there's Chelsea, the strategic planning consultant, who's doing a lot of partnership and outreach work. So I low-key feel like we're a big team, especially for this to be a project. We are not a nonprofit. We are not a LLC. Like, it's just a project. So to have four people on the team is amazing. And y'all already know my ethics. If you don't know, you've been to know. I don't work with people if I can't pay them. I've had friends who've known about the podcast and like, oh my God, I want to help you. I want to support you. And I'm like, well, I can't afford to pay you. So I'm not accepting any help. And it's too often where people are expected to do free labor just because the mission is a good mission. And they're supposed to do this work for free because it's good work and it's impactful work and it's going to impact community. And it's like, that work deserves to be compensated. And if I'm not in the space where I can compensate someone, there's no shame in that. I just got to do it until I can get to the place where I can compensate. And so that's another thing that I'm proud of myself of with BFR that I haven't really thought of, that I'm reflecting on now as I'm doing this episode, is that I stuck to my ethics and my values. And now look at me, four people deep, they're all getting paid on time too. Cause you know, that's one thing organizations don't know. Checks be missing and stuff. Listen, Okay. So I stuck to that. And now look at us. So yeah, I am proud of that. And just the impact that being able to work with other Black women and femmes, young people in the movement has had on me. It's just like, like I said earlier, I am a recovering perfectionist. And so I'm definitely guilty of, like, when I was in college being like, oh, you know, it's easier for me to just do X, Y, and Z than to delegate it to someone else because it's going to take me more time to tell them, or they might not do it right and I might have to fix it. And so I would just, you know, perfectionist and just do everything myself. And I would say towards the end of college, I definitely was getting better at that. And now with BFR, I can see how like delegation and like kind of like supervisory stuff takes a lot of effort and labor. I'm not going to lie to y'all. But it's so rewarding in the sense that when you add other people to the work that you're doing, they have so many great ideas and so many perspectives outside of yours that it just adds so much value. Like all of the projects we're doing right now, the zine, the book club, we're collaborating with different like really established entities that would not be possible if it was just me doing the podcast. And so I just really appreciate all of the value they brought to the podcast. And it's just like teaching me so much, like teaching me how to show up as a quote-unquote leader, as a quote-unquote supervisor, manager, whatever, it's just, I'm just learning so much while I get to be in community with amazing people. And we get to just, like, I feel like we get to talk about real stuff at quote-unquote work. Like, we've been talking about, ooh, I need to get my hair did. Like, it's just, like, a very Black space. Like, you know, and I got into the movement, if y'all don't know, I was working at, my first jobs were at Sister Song and Rejack. Those are two Black-led organizations. One's led by a Black fat lesbian. Another one's led by, one's led by a Black lesbian. One's led by a Black trans person. So my intro into the workforce was, like, a pretty radical experience. And so from transitioning, so, y'all, I'm trying to slow down. I'm trying to be more mindful of my, this, my speech and its tone and enunciating my words. So to go from working for these people who, and not only did they have these identities that people may say are quote unquote radical, which I don't subscribe to that, but not only do they have these identities, but they show up in a way that tells you that their lived experience informs how they show up in the workforce and how they show up as a supervisor, right? So that's really important. So just having a trans boss isn't going to do anything if they still exist within this sphere of white supremacy, heteropatriarchy, and transphobia, right? Like, it's not going to impact anything, but having them show up and understand, you know, understand the systems and how to support people who are working, you know, with them, but, you know, under them, was really impactful. So moving from outside of that space into basically white corporate America, if y'all don't know, I work for a university, so I'm not sure how much more white corporate America we can get than that. It's like a very big different shift. I don't even know where I was going with that, but being able to kind of create a working space, a working team that reflects the things that I loved about working with Black radical nonprofits has been amazing, especially because I know what the other side feels like. And another way that I feel that BFR has been a labor of love and really kind of somewhat of a healing process for me is that, you know, I've been in the workforce for a little bit now, honestly, not that long. I'm 24, but I've definitely experienced things where I feel like supervisors and bosses and just work culture in general wasn't the most conducive to people having, you know, healthy boundaries and having the things that they need. And so being able to show up every day with the BFR team and to quote unquote lead in ways that I wish people led with me and the ways that I wish some of my supervisors showed up and the care that I wish that they had, being able to have that with the team has shown me that I'm not asking for too much, that when I say I need X, Y, and Z, that's not an outlandish request because it's so simple and so easy for me to do that with the BFR team. And I have one one-thousandth of the resources that these organizations have. So if I can do it with literally nothing, like when you talk about a shoestring budget, like what's past a shoestring? A freaking, I don't even know, a thread budget. If I can do that, then you most definitely could, and you're choosing not to. And so it's been really validating for me to know that what I'm asking for is not too much and that I shouldn't even have to ask for it, because I don't make the BFR team ask for it, because I just know, because as someone who's ever worked in the workforce, I can pretty much understand what people need to feel supported. Now obviously there are specific things and I'm not perfect, right? Like people may have different ability needs and they may have things that help them specifically. And so, you know, communication stuff is great like that. But I'm talking about the bare minimum, like respecting people's boundaries. Like, you should know that off rip. You don't need a training or anything to understand that. Like, you just need to be a human. So, yeah, in summary, Black Feminist Rants has definitely been a labor of love, you know, teaching myself a lot of things and then being able to work in community. And I'm not sure if I said this already, but also all of y'all, the people who listen to the podcast, it's been so shocking, especially recently, the amount of people who I've been in conversation with who will randomly just be like, oh yeah, I listen to your podcast. And they'll start like name dropping episode titles and like mentioning things I've said. Y'all, that gasses me up so much. And it's like, obviously I know people listen, but I don't know. I feel like the people who listen are like in Alaska or something, even though I literally can see every state and country and city of the listenership. And I know it's California, Texas, Louisiana, and New York is like the top ones. And I live in California, so it makes sense, you know, but I'm still just like, I'm still shocked every single time I like tell my friends or like tell my little, you know, oh my gosh, someone like told me they listen to BFR. They literally said they're a fan. Like, they use the term fan. Like, I'm so gassed. So another thing has definitely been y'all and just like the people that I've been able to meet And like, I remember I was at the Let's Talk About Sex conference and someone came up to me and was like, this podcast like changed my life. And I was like, oh damn, girl, like, you finna make me cry, like, don't do that. And she was like, you never know how much people need to hear something, you know, when you're making it, but like, I just want you to know, like, it was super impactful. And I'm like, girl, you finna make me cry. So just being able to connect with y'all and to like, for you to see pieces of yourself in the podcast and the things that I share and things that the guest speakers share is really impactful, because it feels like I'm curating something of value, which means a lot to me. Obviously, my Instagram story rants, they were very transient, you know, they go away after 24 hours, and I felt like I was talking into the void. And I feel with BFR, like, I have the mentality that I'm talking into the void because I don't really think about who's listening, even though I know people are listening. So then it's nice to like have people come back and be like, oh no, like, I listened to this, and like listing out the things I said in the episode, I'm like, oh wow, you like actually listened, you know, like, it's always a shocker to me, which it shouldn't be. Like, we're 3 years in. I would not be doing it this long if like literally no one was listening. But that's also been another thing for me, like, it's a reminder for me that I do have things of value to say, and I have a valuable perspective, and that I'm like growing and learning a skill set of like interviewing people. And another way BFR has been somewhat of a healing process for me is, I know if you've been listening to the podcast for any amount of time, you know I talk fast as heck. I think right now I'm talking pretty moderately. It's also 1 a.m. now, so I'm tired. But I typically do talk a little bit faster on the episode or on the podcast. And I feel like been shut down, like in college, like in discussions, because people would be like, oh, like, she just talks too fast. And like, as a way to like not listen to the things that I say, and mind you, I'm saying very good, valuable things, like, it's bar for bar, word for word, like, it's really good. So that has always been a soft spot for me, and not people just saying I talk fast, because if you've come to a presentation by me, I will always say, like, if I'm talking too fast, feel free to let me know, like, just like let me know, no hard feelings, anything. So I obviously want what I'm saying, especially when I'm doing like an educational thing or an informational thing, to be accessible. But I do feel like there are certain people, and y'all, I'm really thinking of one person for real. And I genuinely can't even remember her name, but I know if Fabi listens to this episode, she's gonna know exactly who I'm talking about. But as a way to just like ignore what I'm saying or to like dismiss it, that's the thing. I felt very dismissed with those comments, because it wasn't even like, oh, Lakia, can you slow down, which obviously I would have been receptive to, but it's just like, I'm not even going to pay attention or focus or give her any time of day because she talks too fast. Like, girl. That's all I'm gonna say on that. So I feel like BFR has definitely been healing in that regard, because it's like, and I know I do talk fast on here sometimes, right? So even if I am talking fast, y'all still see enough value in what I'm saying to maybe push through like the speedier parts. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like if she doesn't present this in a perfect, curated, exact manner, then she's no longer worth listening to or no longer has anything of value for me to even try to digest. So that's another way that I feel like BFR has been healing, I guess.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I do think I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about how, for those of y'all who don't know, I low-key be doing a lot. So I have my full-time job at a university. I mentioned that earlier. I also have another job with Abortion on Our Own Terms. If you don't know, I basically curate the stigma-free zone on self-managed abortion, which is an exhibit that we walk people through, where we recreate an apartment as if someone's self-managing their abortion at home as a way to destigmatize abortion. It was co-created with Kimberly Inez McGuire, the executive director of Urge. So that's like my main project with them. And then I also do other things on the side, do social media on the side, and have BFR, which has a team of four, including myself. So it like, it adds up, right? Like it's quite a bit of things. And I've been really just fortunate and grateful that all of the things that I do to make money relate to my goals, and even the things I don't do to make money. So another thing I forgot to mention is I'm on the board of Access. So shout out to Access Reproductive Justice. Donate to them for Fundathon. It is their 30th anniversary, and we.
This is Editing Lakia. I just wanted to clarify that Access Reproductive Justice is raising $90,000 in honor of their 30th anniversary. So that's $30,000 per decade that they have been supporting people access funds to get abortion care. So donate to them. I will have a link down below for my personal fundraiser. 100% of your proceeds will go directly to Access. And bonus, if you donate before the end of May, your donation will be matched by the National Network of Abortion Funds. So donate now to double your impact. Also, as of a few weeks ago, I am the new vice chair of the board of Access Reproductive Justice, so I'm super excited to be in a leadership role. If you've been following me on Twitter for a long time, I tweeted a couple years ago about wanting to be on a board, and now I'm on a board and I'm a vice chair, so it's like a full circle moment. But yes, please donate to the fundraiser that I have in the link below, and be sure to donate to your local abortion fund as well to support them.
Definitely donate. It's our 30th anniversary. It is a Black-led abortion fund. We fund abortions for people in the state of California and people across the nation, even outside the nation since Dobbs, and people have been losing access in certain states. So yeah, I'm just doing a lot of different things that take up a lot of my time. And because I do quite a bit of things, and you know, and it's important work, like all of my work relates to supporting people. In some capacity, it relates to supporting people and making sure people have the things that they need for their healthcare and just for like their human rights and stuff. So people tend to applaud that. And then I got, you know, 30 Under 30 award last year, a grant for Black Feminist Rants, growing the team. Like, it's been positive things that have been happening recently. And y'all, I don't know if I mentioned this, I think I did, but I'm moving literally tomorrow into a nice apartment with nice amenities and some security, y'all. Because I am in the hood currently, and I'm still gonna be in the hood because it's downtown, and downtown is the hood, but it's just like, it's different, you know? So I'm excited about that. So just being, like, having the capacity to just grow and, you know, do the things, get new opportunities, get new roles, experience new leadership opportunities has all been great. And I feel like a lot of people have like complimented me on that and just like praised me. And I feel like because I do so much, the praise tends to be a little bit more widespread, I would say, but it's always focused on my work. I say all of that to say, I feel like I get so much positive feedback on like, you do good work and you've accomplished this. And like, I've gotten to the point where like, I still value those compliments and I understand where people are coming from and they want to, you know, give someone their flowers while they're alive. Like, I'm never gonna fault people for that. But I feel like it's gotten to the point for me specifically that the only acknowledgement I ever get is the work that I do. And as someone who is like trying to unlearn having my job as my personality and just like my entire being, only ever being recognized for your work really does hinder that unlearning process, because it's like literally every good thing I hear about myself is only related to what I produce. And so that doesn't make me feel like a person. It makes me feel like a robot. It makes me feel like a part of the machine. And again, like I said, I know people are trying to be intentional about giving people their flowers while they're here. And at the end of the day, I am a fire sign, so I love to hear it. I'm not saying, okay, I am kind of saying stop, Loki, but it's like, I want people to like also, in addition to the work that I do, because I do important work and I do good work and I do a good job at what I do, but also recognizing that outside of that, I also do good things, and like acknowledging that and acknowledging more so the humanity of Lakia and not just like the worker aspect of Lakia. And so that is something that I would just present to, you know, to the class as we talk about capitalism and how bad it is and how capitalism sees us as just, you know, profit and not as people. Also being mindful of how we show up in a community and how we talk to people and what we choose to acknowledge and what we choose to not acknowledge, because, you know, if you're only acknowledging the work that I do and not me as a person, that, I mean, that kind of, to me, makes me feel like I am only valuable or most valuable when I am producing something and not when I'm just being me and just being a human and just being a introverted Black girl. So that is something that I would post to the class. Do with it as you will. You know, I'm not gonna say stop complimenting my work because I do feel like my work is good, but yeah, there is more to me than just my work, you know. I feel like we've talked about a lot. I've talked about my value outside of a worker. I've talked about BFR and how that has been a labor of love. I've talked about the BFR team. And honestly, I feel like my emotions are a lot more regulated now after 25 minutes of recording. Well, it's been over 25 minutes, but 25 minutes of audio so far versus when I started, because like I told y'all, I started recording because I couldn't stop crying. And so that could be another example of how BFR is healing. I don't tend to pull out my mic and record because y'all know my episodes be very highly researched, very curated. You know, I'm not coming with misinformation. I'm coming with the facts. So I be very prepared and on it when I do my episodes. So I very rarely just pull out my mic and start talking, because once you just start pulling out the mic and talking, it's giving podcast bros. It's giving the Hotep vibes. And I try to steer very clear from that. I promise you, us Black women be fighting for our lives who podcast. Us Black podcasting women be fighting for our lives because these Black men, and not even just Black men, y'all. Lord have mercy. Not even just Black men. Men in general be making a mockery of the podcasting craft, okay? Like, I don't even want people to know I'm a podcaster at this point. Or, oh my gosh, y'all. People hear I'm a podcaster and I have to immediately let them know. I don't talk about relationships. I don't talk about 50-50. I don't talk about none of that. I'm not talking about misandry. I don't talk about any of it. I steer clear. I'm talking about things that actually can impact people's lives. Abortion access, reproductive health care, stuff like that. Black feminism. You know, I'm not talking about none of that other stuff that don't matter. They be like, gay son of thought daughter. Like, at this day, like, at this point, just gay thought daughter. That's my answer. That's my vote. And I'm sticking to it. Like, I cannot with these, like, bare bones, backwards ass conversations that we have every 3 weeks. Or, like, oh, if you get flued out, should you have sex with him? Like, can we stop talking about that? So I feel like us podcasters, us Black women podcasters, be fine for our lives to be like, no, we're legitimate. Like, we are trying to add value. We not on that other stuff. So that's my rant. That's my rant on that. But yeah, I feel like we talked about a lot. I'm glad that we got to have this chit chat. Let me know what you think about this episode. Like, for real. Like, give me feedback. DM me on Instagram or comment on Twitter or whatever. All of the social medias will be in the description box. Also, y'all, subscribe to the newsletter. Subscribe to the newsletter. By the time this episode comes out, we will probably already have launched or at least announced the book club. So sign up for our book club. We will be reading... our very first book will be Birthing Liberation by Sabia Wade, a first-time author, their debut book. So supporting them, support us. But yeah, just stay connected with BFR. We are also, y'all, I'm really excited. We are dabbling into in-person events. I'm so excited at this point right now. We've got one like almost fully unlocked. I'm just waiting for the people to finalize the date and then it's going to be unlocked. Super excited for that one. We have one in Atlanta coming up at some point. I don't want to say too much, you know. The haters be biting. Y'all, I'm kidding. That is definitely a sweetie reference. But anyways, so yeah, we've got at least 2 events in the works. I definitely want to do one in New Orleans. That one logistically is just like presenting to be a little bit more difficult. Which, like, it shouldn't be, because literally one of the team members, Cameron, lives in New Orleans. So, like, it shouldn't be difficult. And y'all know I went to school in New Orleans. If you didn't know, I went to school in New Orleans. Tulane University. That is my alma mater. So, I have, like, tons of connections in New Orleans. So, I don't know why that's being so difficult. But we'd love to do an event in New Orleans. We've got Oakland, Atlanta, ideally New Orleans. I would love to do one in Texas. I don't have many connections in the repro community in Texas, but y'all know I'm from Texas. I rep Texas till the day I die. Very much a Texas girl through and through. So yeah, and my family didn't immigrate migrate out of Texas. Like, you know, people like migrated from the South, like formerly enslaved people migrated from the South to like the North or like the Midwest or whatever. Like, my people from Texas. So y'all, I'm just rambling at this point, but yes, stay tuned. BFR may be coming to a city near you, but yes, keep supporting BFR. I really do appreciate all of y'all. Also, let me know what episodes you would like to hear, specifically for like the more like, I think I'm gonna call this rant and not chit chat, but like the chit chat conversational style ones. Let me know what you want me to talk about, because I don't be knowing like what personal stuff to share. And also let me know, of course, what type of guest speakers you would like on the podcast. If there's a specific guest you'd like to see, let me know. If there's a specific episode you'd like to hear, let me know. My goal also this year was to start a YouTube and do video podcasts, but y'all, your girl is tired. She's tired. I know BFR is tired. Like I mentioned, I met with Anaya earlier today, and I could just tell Anaya was exhausted. We were both exhausted. We were like loopy. Like, we couldn't even speak words low-key. So I know the team is tired. So video podcast might not be in the cards at this moment, but at some point I would definitely like to do that. So let me know what type of videos y'all specifically want to see on a video format, and we'll try to get that done at some point. No time soon. That is another thing. Oh my gosh, y'all, actually I was gonna close out this episode, but there's something else I can talk about real quick. Y'all, I have really been learning, and this probably is common sense, but as you get more opportunities, you want to accept them. You want to take advantage of them, right? But with more opportunities comes more exhaustion. Like BFR, we've been, like I mentioned, we're doing the book club, we're doing the zine, we're doing a lot, we're playing in-person events. And it's like all of these opportunities would not have been a possibility in 2020 when I started the podcast. So I want to say yes to everything, especially when the BFR team has connections that they're connecting us with. Like, I just want to say yes, but I'm realizing that it's wearing us thin, low-key, like I said. I could tell Anaya was tired on the call. I haven't really checked in with Cameron or Chelsea, but I assume they're tired. Chelsea was kind of like taking a low-key of a break the last couple of months and is like just now getting back into like the groove of it. But yeah, I feel like there's been a lot of exhaustion across the team, and it's just like we're having all of these opportunities and doing these cool things, which is like exciting and so much fun. But like, it's been a reminder that you don't have to say yes to everything, or you don't have to say yes to everything right now. You can say yes and do it in 6 months. Like, why are we cramming in everything in 4 weeks? Like, I'm just so tired. And it's at the point where it's like, you know, where you're like, okay, I'm going to start saying no, and you don't start saying no because you want to say yes to every opportunity. No, I'm past that. It's like, I physically don't even have the energy to form the word yes. Like, your yes isn't even in my vocabulary anymore. Like, no, I'm kidding. I do still say yes to things, but I say yes, but not now. Okay, so I'm not gonna lie, I don't be saying no. I don't say no. Yes, but not now. That's my new phrase, because it's getting ridiculous, and it's like such a blessing that we're getting all these opportunities and like all these cool things. But like, we gotta put us first at the end of the day. So if you would like to partner with BFR, if you have this really exciting thing you like to do with us, hit us up, because we'll most likely say yes, but not now. Yes, but let's plan it in advance. Like, let's plan, you know, 6-9 months in advance. We don't got to plan everything in a month or two. So definitely reach out to us if you'd like to partner, if you'd like to sponsor an episode. I think we're going to move from sponsoring episodes to sponsoring a season. So if you are interested in sponsoring a season, please do so. Our next season will be a global feminism season, which I'm so excited for. So y'all, if y'all have specific feminists who are doing work internationally, globally, let me know. Let us know. Hit us up. Our contact information will be in the description below. Lakia@blackfeministrants.com. Yeah, because we'd love to reach out to them as we begin to plan our global feminism season. Y'all, I've started and I've ended and unended and ended this episode, so I'm going to go ahead and give it its wrap. Thank y'all so much for listening to this episode. I honestly feel like I can go to sleep now and just sleep and not cry. So I appreciate y'all giving me the space to get some of my thoughts out. And I hope you enjoyed the episode. Definitely, if you listen on Spotify, I'm going to have like a little questionnaire, like the poll. So definitely respond to that, because I genuinely want to know what y'all felt about this episode. And if you have more words that you'd like to share, or you want it to be a little bit more private, your reflection or your review or whatever, you can always DM me on Instagram at Black Feminist Rants, or on Twitter at Black Fem Rants, Black F-E-M Rants. We're also on TikTok, Black Feminist Rants, but TikTok is not the space to share your feelings, your emotions, or your review. Please keep that to the email, the Instagram, or the Twitter, okay? But do follow us on TikTok, and of course, subscribe to the newsletter. I'll have all that in the description below. Thank y'all so much. I really appreciate y'all, and I just love BFR. I just love BFR. I love the community that we built. I want to continue to grow the community. I definitely know I don't interact with y'all as much as I probably should. So if you have, y'all, I'm an introvert. If y'all have suggestions on how to, for me to interact more, please let me know. I'm definitely all ears and super receptive to that, because it does not come naturally to me as an introvert. So any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. But I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this, because I keep going on and on. I appreciate y'all so much, and I'll talk to y'all on the next episode.